Teaching meditation can be a deeply rewarding experience. Help others improve their mental and emotional well-being, reduce stress, improve focus, increase self-awareness and self-regulation, all while deepening your own practice and understanding. Join acclaimed author, Buddhist teacher, and Emmy Award-winning musician David Nichtern on Tuesday, May 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for a free online discussion on teaching meditation in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern on May 28th.
I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Server Member Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Server Member Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Krishna Dass Pilgrim Heart Hour. In this podcast, Krishna Dass shares his warm-hearted and down-to-earth path to the divine. If you are interested in supporting Krishna Dass's podcast, please go to beherenownetwork.com/KD.
I think I forgot how to play. Mami Shamisha Yaravana Rupa Sarvam Vyapakam Brahm Veda Swarupam Nijam Nirgunam Nirvikalpam Niriham Chitakasham Akashavasam Vajeham Nirakaram Omkara Mulam Tulyam Hiranyana Gotita Nisham Girisham Karalam Akala Kalam Kripalam Gunagara Samsara Param Toham. Hara Hara Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Hara Hara Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Hara Hara Mahadeva Shambho Hara 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 Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Hara 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 Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Hara Bam Bam Mahadeva Shambho Hara Hara Bam Bam Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Deva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Hara 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 Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Hara 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 Mahadeva Shambho Hara Hara Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Hara Hara Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Hara 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 Mahadeva Shambho Kashi Vishwanatha Gange Hara 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 Mahadeva Shambho Hara 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 Mahadeva Shambho Gange. Mahadev Shambho Kashi Vishwanath Gange. Hara Hara Mahadev Shambho Hara 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 Mahadev Shambho Kashi Vishwanath Gange. Kashi Vishwanath Gange.
Questions. What advice would you give someone who had their first glimpse of the mountaintop? Would you suggest that they wait to meditate again for a while? I don't understand that question at all. If I had a glimpse of the mountaintop, I'd be running my ass up that mountain to live there, bringing whatever I needed to live up on top of the mountain. I don't know what you're talking about. Why would you wait? Why would you wait to meditate again when meditation and chanting and practice is what's going to allow you to live on the mountaintop, so to speak? So I don't know what you mean there. Sorry. Do I have suggestions as to how to really let go of stress from COVID, numerous deaths and other pandemic stressors that one normally doesn't encounter? Spiritual practice and stress reduction activities don't seem to help as much as one would like. It's called practice. This is not, you know, you can, and there's no button to push to make the stress go away. We have to develop a way of living with it, acknowledging it, dealing with it, without being destroyed by it. And that can only come through the deep intuitions that come as we do practice over time. There's no quick, there's no button to push to make it all go away. There absolutely is no button. Spiritual practice and stress reduction activities don't seem to help as much. Well, of course they don't help as much as one would like. They're not buttons you push to make things go away. They're practices and lifestyles and ways of living that you have to learn how to do. And it's very difficult when times are so extreme as they are right now. But on the other hand, when the times weren't extreme, we would just live in like we weren't paying attention. So this time has forced us to pay attention. And now we see how incapable we are in many aspects of getting through the day without banging our head against walls. So of course they don't work as much as one would like right away, but it's a way, it's a sense that you have to commit to developing a new way of living. We can't keep doing the same old shit and expect life to change. We can't follow every emotion. We can't allow ourselves to get swallowed up by every negative story that we read in the papers if we're going to try to live in the world in a good way and be of use to other people as well. So I saw the Dalai Lama cry once. He was giving a teaching to thousands of people, and the teaching was all about how to transform oneself and, you know, just find a, you know, open one's heart and develop compassion and kindness and live in the world in a good way. And it all week long. And then somebody raised hands and said, what's the fastest way to do this? And he cried. He burst out crying. He had just spent a whole week telling everybody what they could do if they wanted to get it together. And then some guy wants, well, what's the fastest way, the easiest way? You know, that's what we're like. We want the easiest way of everything. And some things just are not easy, period. No matter what we do, they're not easy. But they take effort, commitment, sincerity, honesty, and energy. Someone wants me to explain how reincarnation works. How would I know? I mean, I've read a couple of books, but I'm not, as far as I know, I haven't died yet this life. So I can't tell you how it works. I really can't tell you. There's no sense in me talking about it. Only to say that Maharaji, who never talked about these things, once implied that there is rebirth. He didn't imply. He said, there is rebirth. We were talking about a former girlfriend of mine who killed herself while I was in India. And I asked him to bless her so she'd have a good birth next time. And he said, yes, she'll have a good birth. So just in that short little sentence, he acknowledged that there is rebirth, or what we call reincarnation, rebirth. And on the other hand, we don't really know what that means. For instance, one time I was having a conversation with Mr. Tiwari, my Indian father, and he said that I needed to develop something or other. And I said, oh, well, you know, I'll have to get it together next life. I'll fuck this life up. And he says, my boy, there's only one life. The soul, so to speak, takes on different suits of clothes, wears different things. And then those clothes wear out and it gets another set of clothes. But the mechanics of that and what that means, what our experience will be at that point, I have no idea. But there are good books about that. Tulku Tandup, T-H-O-N-D-U-P, wrote some wonderful books about reincarnation, like a Peaceful Life. There's a new one. Peaceful Life and Good Death, something like that. Tulku Tandup, T-H-O-N-D-U-P. Beautiful, beautiful Rinpoche. And of course, there are many other books about those things. If a both metaphysical and physical reality exist, will both of these concentrations into harmony in the presence? You can't. Your will cannot do that. Our personal will cannot rearrange the universe. Our personal will might be able to sit our asses down and calm our minds down a little bit and save us from a lot of these conundrums that seem to be in one's head. That would be nice. Why is it sometimes difficult to be authentic and kind? Because we're selfish bastards. We only care about ourselves and how things relate to us. Do I have enough? Am I getting enough? Are they getting too much? They're taking my share. I got to get that. I need more of this. They have it. I'm going to take it. Who am I in relationship to them? And how do they see me? This is how we go through life. me, 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 all the time. It all self-referential, small s self-referential. That's why it's hard. How do you overcome that? Very difficult. Not many people do. But we need to find a way to do some seer practice, because it's only that the practice and the intuitions that arise from practice that can liberate us from that, those delusions that we have about ourselves. Someone wants an easy mantra to say when one needs to feel humility quickly. Well, there is no easy mantra to say that's going to... Mantras are not like buttons you push. You have to practice regularly. We have to commit ourselves to becoming good human beings. We can't bounce through life like ping pong balls and then expect to find peace. We have to work on this. Every day, we have to do some practice. So yeah, quickly is out of the question, okay? You have to have patience. If you develop patience, then everything will be quick, because you won't be in a hurry and you'll be calm. So patience is a quality that's very useful, patience with ourselves and with others. There's no shortcut. Every shortcut, while it might seem it's getting you in the right direction, is a dead end, ultimately. One has to transform oneself through personal effort. And yet, the irony is that our efforts can only go so far. We can only cup our hands. We can't make it rain. Luckily, it's raining all the time. So all we have to do is cup our hands and they will fill with water. But we forget. We put our hands like this. We forget what cupping our hands means. And so we go through life every day not paying attention and wishing things were different. Wishing and hoping. And blah, 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 that's a song by Dusty Springfield, a great song, is not going to get it done. You have to do some practice. So get over it and sit your ass down and do something. Someone's asking about in the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the first writing down of the story of Rama, Lakshman, Sita, Hanuman, etc. When Hanuman is not able to find Sita in Lanka, he suffers from extremely dark thoughts. Was he at peace then? And if he can suffer that way, what hope do we have? Well, remember, someone's telling the story. Valmiki is telling the story. Why he tells the story in the way he does, that's above our pay grade. My understanding is this, and it comes from a story that I heard from Dada about Maharaji, who is Hanuman incarnate. They were in Chitrakoot, and in Chitrakoot there's a big hill called Hanumandhara. So it's a mountain, and there's these these concrete steps that go up the mountain. There's hundreds of steps, and they're big steps. So up at the top of the mountain, there's a place called Sita Rasoi, which is Sita's kitchen. And supposedly, Sita Ram and Lakshman lived there, and this was a place where, and there, at the top of this mountain, there's a spring coming out. I believe Lakshman shot an arrow, or Ram shot an arrow and brought that water out. Not sure about that. So it's said that, so Maharaji went there, and Dada was with him. There must have been some other devotees around. And he sat down there by the stream. And he said to Dada, he said, Dada, after Hanuman burnt Lanka, he came here to cool off, to peace, to calm down and to cool off in this water. And then Maharaji said something, and he said it partially under his breath, as if he was more like just talking to himself. He said, but Hanumanji was always at peace. So, remember, this is a story being told by somebody, but it's not, this somebody doesn't necessarily know the inner experience of the beings he's telling the story of. Not necessarily. And from what I understand about Hanuman, and this is the key to Hanuman, that regardless of what he was doing, he was always at one with Rama, at one with God, merged in Ram. So even if he seemed to be wrathful and angry and killing the demons, even then he was still at peace. So I wouldn't worry about it if I were you. We have plenty of hope. I tried to be good to my mother, but she has some flaws that make it hard to be around her. How do I do right? Love means letting somebody be who they are. We can't change people. And our parents, we don't know what made them the way they are. We know them only as our parents. We don't see what life was like when they grew up. We don't see what they went through. We don't see their hearts being broken. We don't understand what brought them to this moment. All we know is that they're our parents, and most of the time they just piss us off. So we have to develop a little compassion. And just like anybody else, real love means letting somebody be who they are. And if you really love someone, you don't need to change them in order to love them. If they change, that's good, maybe. But they'll change on their own time. And they're certainly not going to change if we start pointing out all their faults from our own self-righteous point of view. So just widen your heart and see that that's your judgmental mind. And your judgmental mind is not her problem. It's your problem. So you need more love. You need more compassion. You need more kindness. So you have to find that. And of course, with parents, it's not so easy because we blame them for everything. Does silence play a role on the spiritual path? Well, you know, it depends what you call silence. Just keeping your mouth shut doesn't mean your mind is going to be quiet. So that's not going to be necessarily very helpful. The real silence, as Ramana Maharshi said, is to abide in the self. in one. And then there's no thought. Or even if there is thought, you're not thinking it. It's a whole different state of consciousness. But as sadhana, as spiritual practice, sometimes not speaking for a day or two or a month, if it's convenient, can show you a lot of stuff about yourself. And that can be very useful. But just to keep your mouth shut, there's no big deal there. But on the other hand, any hard practice like no sugar, or no this, or less sleep, or more meditation, you know, anything that's hard for you to do that you need to use your effort to accomplish, if it's a spiritual endeavor, that can develop will. And we need will. We need willpower. Because that's what directs us, our energy. If our will is crippled, our energy has no, we don't know how to use our energy. There's just energy, and it's all over the place. There's no direction to it. Why is this world rigged so it's so much easier to get what you don't want, and at the same time, extremely difficult to get what you do want? And when you finally do, it's twisted to defeat the point of it. Which world do you live in, anyway? The world isn't rigged. The world is actually neutral. It's our karmas that shape it and color it, and our emotional damage that projects itself out onto things and dictates to us what we need, what we want, and how to get it and how not to get it. So it's just our own stuff we're seeing in the outside world. So stop looking at the world and thinking it's rigged. Look at your own stuff. Look into your own heart, your own mind, your own being, your own emotions, and see what's in there. And then find a way to work with those, whether it's therapy, counseling, whatever you need to do to iron out and untie some of those knots that are making it hard for you to be happy and find happiness. The world isn't just one thing. Each one of us lives in pretty much a different world. We agree on a certain bandwidth, so we can share language, and we see, most of us see pretty much the same colors. But there are beings who see more colors, so to speak. So they see things in the sky, they see other types of beings. But we're in a particular bandwidth, and in that bandwidth, we are projecting our minds are projecting, and then we react to what we see and we don't like it. So one needs to work on oneself. It's all coming from here. The good and the bad, the good and the painful, all come from within us. Is meditation a place where thought ceases? No, not necessarily. Thoughts don't necessarily cease. Eventually, maybe, there won't be any what we call thinking. But that doesn't mean that thoughts won't be still floating through consciousness. We won't be thinking them. Meditation is so many things, but on one hand, meditation is trying to let ourselves calm down, relax the body, relax the breath, release the tension, release the anxiety, just become more at ease. And then you add an object of concentration. You either watch your breath, or you can repeat some mantra. You can chant out loud or not. You try to pay attention, and you begin to notice how hard that is, how our minds are all over the place, and we can't control them. So little by little, you add this object of concentration, and when you notice you're not paying attention to the very thing you chose to pay attention to, you simply come back again and again. And that will slow you down as time goes on. And gradually, but inevitably, the thoughts and emotions that enter into our awareness lose a bit the ability to hook us and to carry us away. But it's not right effort to try to stop thought. You really can't do that. I mean, it can be done, but that's not going to bring what we really want. It might be possible to use our will to actually crunch down thought so that it doesn't arise. But the minute we relax, it arises again because we haven't cut the root of what creates the thoughts in the first place. So it's better to just add a practice to your life. Do it every day. Don't do it too long, because then you have a big reaction. Either you get a big ego, how great, look, I'm doing all this practice, or you say, I can't do shit, it doesn't matter how much I do. One of the other things is going to happen, or something in between. So just do a little bit every day. Get used to the feeling. I know this seems like bullshit and like kindergarten stuff, but hey, this is kindergarten. I hate to tell you. And we're all in it. So let's recognize how much work we really need to do and how little we really control our own lives. We can't go through the day without flipping out about something. It's very difficult. So let's recognize that and do what's necessary to calm our asses down. Again and again and again and again. There's no magic bullet. But the magic bullet is actually having the understanding that this is what we need to do. How do you deal with or overcome the feelings of wanting to throw yourself in the river? Well, the feeling might be there to throw myself in the river. The feeling might arise. But I've been told by Maharaji that even if I do jump in the river, I'm not going to accomplish what I want to accomplish. So there's no sense doing it. He said, you can't die. You're going to jump in the river? What are you going to do? Jump in the river? You can't die. You want to die? You have to die the real death, which is the death of the belief in a separate self. He said, only Jesus died the real death. Why? Because he never thought of himself. He gave his life for his people. Jesus didn't have any thought about protecting himself. He just offered himself to his people, and whatever happened, happened. He didn't care, because he knew he couldn't die. He had already died the real death, and he was alive in God, fully alive. So even though thoughts sometimes arise about jumping in the river, once you know it ain't going to work, you just say, all right, let me figure something else out. But nothing will work. We cannot kill ourselves. Beings, like Bob Thurman says, there are no dead beings. Bodies come and go for various reasons and in various ways. according to their own timeline. That's what they say. I don't know that for sure, but that's what they say. They say the time of your death is written when you're born. How you get there may not be written, but you get there just at the right time. So, yeah, so thoughts of killing myself and thoughts of trying to be away from suffering and how to do it, they may arise, but there's nothing, you have to go through it. There's no escape. And the sad thing is people think they can kill themselves and get away from suffering, and that doesn't work. But they don't understand that. And in fact, when he said, once you understand that the body is temporary, you don't even think of throwing it away. It's already temporary. But we are so identified with our bodies and our emotions. And we think it's forever. This is me, and I'm forever. So, through doing practice and getting more and more involved with the spiritual path, understandings arise from inside about these things. Like, things just happen. Like, I saw a prayer today that I've seen hundreds of times before. And today I read it and I went, oh my, that's what that is. That's what that means. I had read that line hundreds of times. And now, today, out of the blue, all of a sudden, now I'm right. That came from inside, not from outside. It came from a culmination of all kinds of things. So those understandings will come from inside about life, about yourself. But we have to pay attention. We have to do some practice. We have to plant the seeds. You don't plant the seeds, nothing's going to grow except weeds. And there's already plenty of weeds. Here we go. I don't like some of my thoughts lately. They are past experiences that were awkward. Humiliating, maybe. You were humiliated and something. I explore them, but I wish the past was different. Now, how is that going to be? The past happened. You can't go back and change it. But I try to let it go, but it comes back. So what do? You keep letting go. That's all. You keep letting go. You keep noticing. And then, why am I doing this to myself? Why are these thoughts haunting me? Why are they coming back to me? Why do they still hurt? They still hurt because you identify, you think you're the same person who that happened to. Whatever was awkward or humiliating or hurtful, you still feel it right now. You have to let go. You have to let go. Letting go doesn't mean pushing away. It doesn't mean denying. It actually means allowing it to be. And you let go of your reaction. You're trying to push it away. You let that go. And you allow yourself to feel that humiliation, that awkwardness. You sit with it. Wow. Boy, I was so stupid. And then you think, it's just, that was then. You know, why do I still feel stupid? I wonder why. You start to see what's working every day. They come back because they didn't go anywhere. They're lodged in our subtle body, in our prana body, in our channels, in the subtle body, the emotional body, you could say, or the energetic body within us. So practice can take out, can release a lot of that negativity, that those bruises in our sympathetic nerve system, our subtle bodies. Practice can actually do that, but you have to do the practice with sincerity and honesty and openness and intention and energy. and commitment. And then those practices can work, and they can give you some space in there so that you don't keep reliving the same knee-jerk reaction again and again. When it arises, the quality of your feeling might be a little different over time. So yes, practice can do that, and also paying attention to it. Therapy, counseling, all the things that we can do, all the tools that are available to us, we have to use. When you're drowning, you use whatever you can to plug up the boat. You don't say, I'm not going to use that. I don't like that. You use it. If it's there, you use it to try to plug up the boat so you don't drown. So we're drowning in our shit all day long, all life long. We need to use what's available to help ourselves. All right. If the soul moves on after the body dies, what happens to the mind when the body dies? Is it connected to the physical body? You know, these are deep questions. It's easy to give a quick little answer, but we don't even know. You're asking me about if the soul moves on. Do I really know what the soul is? Then you're saying, what happens to the mind? What is the mind? How are you defining mind at that point? Are you defining it as, what type of consciousness are you talking about in the mind? There's many different types of consciousness. So the short answer is there's some continuum that goes on. What it is, how it works, we don't know. Some people do know, but I don't know. And the results of our own actions in this life and all the seeds we have planted, positive, negative, and neutral, loving, hateful, disassociated, all those seeds are in that continuum. And they will create another body for whatever that continuum is, until such time as there are no more seeds planted, no more reason to have a body, a physical body. But that's not necessarily the goal, because we don't understand even what these things mean. Let us just try to become more loving individuals, kinder to ourselves and to others. Really. It's very simple. Let us try to treat other beings, other people, the way we want to be treated. And just forget all this other stuff. Just do that. And then you see that you can't. And how hard that is. So then you look for the remedies to help you become that person who can do that. And one of those remedies is chanting. And that's what we're going to do now. One of the questions was, what's a mantra to Maharaji? And this is that. Don't you love it when you put a recaller in your mouth that's been sitting around for a month and there's a hair on it. Thank you.
Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. To hungry hearts everywhere through endless time. You who wander, you who thirst, I offer you this boat am I, calling out to hungry spirits everywhere through endless time, calling out to hungry heart, all the lost and left behind. Gather round and share this meal, your joy and your sorrow, I make it mine. Shri Guru Charan Sarojaraja Jamanam Kur Sudhari Arano Raghubara Bimala Jasu Jodayaku Palachari Buddhihin Tanujanike Sumeram Bhavana Kumar Siyaram Vallabhudhi Vidya Dehu Mohi Harahu Kalesa Vikar Savara Ramachandra Padaje Saranam Jaya Hanuman Gyana Gunasa Jaya Kapisati Loka Puja Ramaduta Tulta Baladhaman Janiput Pavana Sutana Mahavira Bikram Bajarangi Mati Nirvar Sumati Kesangi Kanchana Varana Viraja Subesa Kanana Kundala Kunchita Kesa Hatha Bajuro Dvaja Viraja Kande Munja Jane Usaja Shankara Suvana Kesari Nanda Teja Pratap Mahajagavan Vidhiyavan Guni Ati Chatu Rama Kaja Kani Beko Atu Prabhu Charitra Suni Beko Rasiya Rama Lakan Sita Manavasi Sukshma Rupa Darasiya Hindaka Vikata Rupa Daralang Padare Asura Sanghare Ramachandra Kekadasava Maya Sanjeeva Nalakana Diyaya Raghubira Hara Shivralai Raghupati Kinhi Bhorta Barai Tumma Mamma Priya Bharatai Samavai Sahasavadana Tumma Rojasaga Sakari Shri Pati Kuntalaga Sanakadika Brahmadi Munisa Narada Sharada Sahita Ahisa Makubera Digapala Jahante Abhiko Bidakaya Sake Kahante Tuma Upakara Sugriva Inkinha Rama Melaya Raja Padadin Maro Mantra Bibishanama Lankeshwara Vaya Sabha Jagajan Yuga Sahasra Jojana Parabhan Viryota Imadura Palajan Prabhu Mudrika Mele Mukamahi Jaladi Langi Gaya Achara Janahi Durgama kaj jagat ke jet sugama anugrah tumare det Ram duvare tumara kovar Otana agya bin pezar Sab sukla hai tumari sharan Tumara chakkahu Apan tej samaro ape Dino loka ham katin kampe Bhut pisashan katin hi ave Mahavir jab naam suna ఆసే రోగహరే సబ్బీర జపత నిరంతరంగు మత్వీర సంకటతే హనుమాన్ చురావే మన క్రమ బచన ధ్యాన జోలావే సబ పర రామ తపస్వీరాజ ఇనకే కాజ సకల తుమ సాజ ఓర మనోరథ చోకో లావే సోవే అమిత జీవన పల పావ చారుం యుగ పర తాప తుమా హే పర సిద్ధ జగత ఉజియా సాధు సంత కే తుమ రకవాడే అసురన కండన రామ దుడాడ అష్ట సిద్ధి నో నిధి కే దాతా అసువర దీన జానకి మాతా రామ రసాయన తుమరే పాస సదా రహో రఘుపతి కే దాస తుమరే భజన రామ కో పావ జనమ జనమ కే దుఃఖ విసరావ అంతకాల రఘువర పుర జాయి జహం జనమ హర భక్త కహాయి ఔర దేవతా చిట్టన దరై హనుమత సె సర్వ సుఖ కరై సంకట కటె మిటె సబ పీరా జో సుమిరె హనుమత బలవీర జే 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 హనుమాన్ గోసాయి కృపా కరో గురుదేవ కీనాయి జో సత బార పాఠ కర కోయి చ్యుత హి బన్ని మహాసుఖ హోయి వర హనుమాన్ చలీస ఓయ సిద్ధి సాకి గణేష తులసీదాస సదా హరి చేర కీ జే నాథ హృదయ మాదె వన తనయ సంకట హరణ మంగళ మూర్తి రూప సియారాం రామలఖన సీతా సహిత హృదయ బసవ సురభూప సావర రామ చంద పద జయ శరణ మంగళమూర్తి ఆర్తనంద సకల అమంగళ మూల నికంద మంగళమూర్తి మారుతనంద సకల మంగళ Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Shri 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 Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Sita Ram Sitaram, Sitaram, Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram.
If we know anything about a path at all, we know that we might be able to find a way to live in this world in a good way, with an open heart, without fear. It's only because of the great beings that have gone before us. Out of their love, out of their kindness, They left some footprints for us to follow. So in the same way that they wish for us, in the same way that they wish for us, we wish that all beings everywhere, all of us, be safe, be happy, that all of us have good health and enough to eat. And may we all live in peace and at ease of heart, at ease of heart, with whatever comes to us in life.
Shanti, Shanti.